Thank you. Good morning, everybody. You know, I want to make a declaration, and we quite often say this, but I think we should make it this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Yeah. You know, it's interesting, on Mother's Day, many people regard Mother's Day in different ways because of what's happened in their lives. You may have lost your mother. You may have had a mother that wasn't really a mother. You may have had a mother that left you behind. And so when we come together on Mother's Day, some rejoice, some are sad, and some say, what are you talking about mothers for? But I want to say this morning, the Word of God says, honour your father and your mother. I'm going to go into that a little bit later. But I'm going to do something that we've never done before here. It might be a bit difficult for some, but I want you all to stand and honour the Word of God. And we're going to read a scripture, if we can have that up on the screen, from Proverbs 31. We're going to read 10 to 31. And I'm going to read the first verse, you're going to read the second verse, and I'm going to read the third verse, you're going to read the fourth verse until we get to 31. Do you think you can do that?
Yes.
Now, sometimes when you do this sort of thing, you get mixed up and forget which verse you're on. But let's concentrate and see how we go this morning. Okay. Verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar.
She also
She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard.
She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms.
She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night.
She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the vineyard.
She opens her arms to the poor, and extends her hands to the needy. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple.
Her husband is
She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She speaks with wisdom, and faith instruction is on her tongue.
She watches over the ways of her household, and does not eat the bread of idleness.
Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised.
Give
May the word add his understanding to those words that we've just read. And Lord, may we each one realize what mothers we had and what the benefit they were to us. So we pray this morning that you would just open our eyes, open our hearts, that we may know that you spoke to us this morning.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated. In that reading we read, her mouth is full of wisdom. Kindly teaching is on her tongue. You know, the good news about mothers is mothers usually are calm, wise, and kind. It's their job to pass down to the generation their qualities, to not only their children, but to everyone around them. And we have to praise them for doing so. I want to tell you a story about my mother. I was very fortunate to grow up with a mother who was a very godly lady. In fact, I used to say she was the most perfect mother that anyone ever had. She was absolutely wonderful. When I didn't know what I wanted to do leaving school, she took me to an organisation where they examined what I was able to do and told me, I can't even remember what the name of the organisation was, a vocational guidance. And she took me in there and helped me to see what I could have for the future. And she did all that sort of thing for me. But the interesting part about it was, I had two sisters, one older and one younger. And she did the same for them. She helped them in all the ways possible. She loved us with an unfailing love. She was so wonderful. And I think Anne could attest to this. She was really a wonderful mother. Until she had a stroke. And her attitude changed, her demeanour changed, and we weren't good enough for her. And that was because of the stroke. Now, there may be many here that have gone through some of those things with their mother. But look, I wanted to say this morning, let's look at the good times. Let's look at the wonderful times that we've had with our mother and not dwell on those things that have happened afterwards. The Bible is clear about how we should treat our parents. What does the fifth commandment say? That's the only commandment with a promise. Honour your father and your mother, that all will go well with you in the land. This commandment and the blessing attached, because that promise is a blessing, is repeated throughout the Old and the New Testaments. But that doesn't mean... But what does it mean? The Oxford Dictionary talks about honour. And this is what it says. To regard with great respect and high esteem. It also describes honour as something regarded as a rare opportunity and bringing pride and pleasure and privilege. Both of these describe what it means to honour your parents. I want to just go back a little bit. We're talking this morning about mothers, but we can also talk about grandmothers. When I was a child, we lived in a house in Bentley. Anyone know Bentley? And my father had built the house, and later on, my grandparents had lost where they were renting and needed somewhere to stay, so myself and my father built a granny flat on the back of the house. And the granny flat had a passage that ran through from the kitchen of the main house through to the granny flat, but on that passage were the toilet and the laundry. And my bedroom was just off the kitchen. And every night before I went to bed, I had to go to the toilet, so I went out to the toilet and I stood in that passage and I listened to my grandmother, who died at the age of 92, I think she was, 95. Anne knows everything about numbers, I don't. 95. She prayed for every single one of her family, every night. And I stood in that passage and listened to her praying for all them. Now, we could see the fruit of that in the future, but not right at that time. That impressed on me the power of a praying family member, the power of a mother or a grandmother. You know, when your mother does things to you that sometimes embarrass you, and I don't know whether you've ever had this, that men, if you or when you were boys, if you've ever had this happen to you that your hair was a bit rough and hanging down over here, so your mother would wet her fingers and go like that to put it back into place. Perhaps that's why that's all gone there. I don't know. But your mother did looked after you and did these things. Now I've got Anne to do these things. Although she doesn't do that. But a grandmother and a mother, they're both the same. Just a little bit of age separating them. The Bible consistently asks followers to honour and love their mothers. What is the Hebrew meaning of the word honour? Does anyone know? Not many people do, because everyone doesn't study Hebrew. The primary Hebrew word for honour is kvod, K-V-D. Kvod. And the word is central to Old Testament culture and theology. The verb kvod occurs 173 times, and the noun kvod occurs 200 times. And the main meaning of that word is weight. W-E-I-G-H-T, weight. Which carries a metaphorical sense of weightiness, importance, and honour. The word mother in both Hebrew and Greek is pretty simple. Can you tell me what they both mean? Mother. But each has another interesting elaborating point into birth. In Hebrew, it adds parting, point of departure, division. See the little the sense there? And in Greek we find source of something. Birth is the point of departure. Now this morning I'd like to talk about four women of the Bible. Hesitate for a minute, just for a minute, because I want to separate what I've just said with these women. Not that it doesn't connect, but because just change our thoughts just a little bit as we think of these. The first is Naomi. Now the origin and meaning of the name Naomi means pleasant and gentle. Naomi is a feminine name of Hebrew origin. It's a popular choice among followers of the Torah. And Naomi features strongly throughout the Hebrew scriptures as a compassionate woman who faces many challenges throughout life. Now, Naomi was an Israelite woman, and she left home during the famine and went to a place called Moab. And while away in Moab, her husbands and sons died. I'm not quite sure how they died, but they died. And the two sons had married two Moabite women who were not Jews. And when the sons died, those two wives of the sons were left not knowing what to do. And Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go back to Moab. I'm leaving and going to Bethlehem. You go back to Moab and be with your own mother and your family." Well, one of them did. One of them went back. Went back to the idol worship and all that sort of thing that was happening in Moab. But there was one that didn't. And her name was Ruth. Now I would encourage you during your time of being with God to look at the book of Ruth. There's amazing stories about what happened to Ruth and what she did. Ruth said to her mother-in-law said, "You know, I want you to go back to your own family and stay." And she said, "No, I'm not going to do that." And there's a very famous scripture that says, "No, I won't go. I want to be with you. I want to go where you go. I want to be with your people. And most importantly, I want my God to be, want your God to be my God." So she was faithful to her mother-in-law. I'm bringing mother-in-law into this on purpose, because quite often we think of mother, well, no, I shouldn't say this. Men quite often think of mothers-in-law and they say, "Oh, my mother-in-law." But that's not always true, because mother-in-laws are terrific, and mostly. So, and I get a bit... annoyed about the there's a plant that's called the mother-in-law's tongue, and I'm not quite sure what that means. But it's sort of, I think it's a bit detrimental to mothers-in-law. But anyway, she was faithful to her mother-in-law, she honoured her mother-in-law, and she went with her mother-in-law. Is that someone talking to me? Now, the next person I want to talk about is Deborah. Deborah's up at the back there too, by the way. That breeze keeps blowing the papers off. Now, during the time of Israel, the Israelites needed someone to be in charge. They always wanted someone to be in charge. And so God said, right, you want someone to be in charge, then I'll appoint judges to be over you. And this is the only woman judge that we know of, and she was named Deborah. And she calls herself a mother in Israel. Perhaps the character is meant to be a biological mother, but no children are mentioned in the text. More likely, the phrase indicates that her arbitration powers or leadership as judge were parental in nature, and even maternal. Although she was, as a judge, she was hardly a tender person in a nurturing sense. These were the leadership. This is what I want to get down to, connecting what I've been talking about. The leadership traits of Deborah. Deborah was courageous. She was called by God to lead at a difficult time. Deborah served with wisdom and knowledge. Deborah supported the people God called to lead. Deborah was trusted. Deborah was direct. Deborah was confident. Deborah was humble. And I'm sure there's many other qualities that we could find as we read into the story of Deborah. You know the meaning of the name Deborah? Do you, Debbie? What is it? That's right. It means in Hebrew, bee or queen bee. The biblical title can be found in the Old Testament book of Judges. Deborah was a heroine and prophetess, and the only female judge, as I said before, mentioned in the Bible. The bee is the emblem of Christ, of his forgiveness, through analogy with the sweetness of his honey, with his justice through its sting, and Christian virtues because of the exemplary way worker bees behave towards their queen. The top Bible verse about Deborah says this: "Certainly I will go with you," said Deborah. "But because of the course you are taking, the honour will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." The next person I want to talk about is Esther. How are we going for time? Is Esther. There's a movie that's called, about Esther, the whole story of Esther. So I suggest you go and grab the CD and see the story of Esther and what happened. I'm not going to go through the whole story of Esther, but she saved the Israelites from extermination from King Xerxes. She was a woman of principles. And last week, Kevin talked about faithfulness and God's faithfulness. These women that I'm talking about this morning were faithful to God in all that they did. Going back to the scriptures that we started with. I'm going to find the page. There it is. I'll read them again in verse 26 to 31. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Do you praise your wife? No, I'm not going to ask for answers to that, but I'll just leave it with you. Do you praise your wife? Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. What a wonderful thing to say to a woman. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honour her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. When I looked at the story of my mother, when I thought about it, I was laying in bed the other morning thinking about mothers and about my mother, and I thought, when I was young, I didn't even know anything about prophetic or being prophetic. But I think my mother was prophetic, because she used to say to us kids, "Don't leave all your toys on the floor there. Someone will trip over them and break and do a damage." Do you think that might be a bit prophetic? Usually someone tripped over them. Or she would say, "I want you to come home by a certain time," and you didn't come home by a certain time. And she said, "If you don't come home by a certain time, something would happen." Perhaps she was being prophetic there, I don't know. But she was always after what was best for you. So I want this morning you to think of your mother as the one who brought you into this world. She may not have been the best mother. She may not have been the mother that you really wanted at the time. But she brought you into the world. And that continued on because you had children. And some, they had children. So we need to honour our father and mother, and our mother particularly, because she brought you into the world. And you say, some may say, I'm not sure I want to be in this world at this time with what's going on in this world. Look, we can change the world. We have the ability to change this world. Because if we take the principles of our mothers to heart and carry them out, let's be faithful to God. Let's do the things He's called us to do. And let's be His people in this world of turmoil. Let's honour our mothers. Would you stand with me, please? You know, mothers don't have it easy. When they go through childbirth, a man can't understand what that is. But women can tell you what it is, what it's like. And quite often, mothers have trouble dealing with the teenagers in their family. They have trouble dealing with their husbands, particularly when they don't hear what they tell them to do. But you know, we need to honour those mothers that were here, that are here. And some of the mothers here are carrying hurts and pains and things that they needn't carry. And this morning, I want to finish up this morning by asking the mothers to come forward and stand in the front here, please. All the mothers. I'd like to hold your hands out like that. And I'm going to get four of the men, young people and men here to come here, come out the front and dip their finger in the anointing oil, and they're going to anoint you with that oil, and they're going to say a phrase to you that I want you to think of, as it will break off all those things that you've been carrying.